Shabbat Shalom. Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you for your Torah. You have given us directions, and Lord, thank you for that, because we're lost without directions. And I just ask you to help us to understand those directions and give us a heart to delve into them. And I pray this in your Son and our Savior, Yeshua. Amen. Before I get started on today's parasha, something happened last night that really impressed me. We went and heard a speaker at a dinner. It was Karenet's annual dinner. This speaker was so uplifting. He was 3 feet tall, 48 pounds, and every bone in his body was disformed. Every bone. He was supposed to have died at birth. He was supposed to have died shortly after birth. The doctors, when they did the ultrasound, asked the mother if they wouldn't abort him. She said no. Now, he can't walk. He has a power wheelchair. His dad's an optometrist. And he loves the Lord. He went through a time in his life where he wondered why. But I believe he talked to us for 45 minutes or so on what he has accomplished in his life. He has flown across the Pacific in the lap of a pilot and had the controls. He has been in the White House a couple of times with Bush. He has raised not hundreds of thousands of dollars, but millions of dollars for needy people like himself. And after listening to him talk, my little needs didn't seem so big at all. In fact, I didn't seem like I had any needs. And I don't imagine there's too many of us after listening to him talk that would consider our needs so big. What an enlightenment. And if you ever get a chance, or maybe you can go online, I think he has a website, but his name is Joshua Berger. Kind of sounds Jewish, but his mother's Korean? Yeah, and his dad's from Canada. So it's probably Jewish. But anyway, it was really enlightening, and I just thought I'd pass that on before I got into the parasha. It because today's parasha kind of reminds me of that. I think I was thinking maybe Chris had something against me when he gave me this one, because it has about 12 stories in it, and to try to put that all together is just about impossible. But there was one thing that stood out to me, and it goes back into last week's parasha, but I'm going to read what Chris read in Hebrew. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. Well, last week's parasha talked about Lekha Lekha. And God said, go forth. Where? From your native land and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And lekha lekha means go forth, as you probably remember from last week. Well, with these few words, God introduces God's self to Abraham. He really didn't know him before. His dad was a builder, a maker of idols. And it's with these words that their relationship was founded. The phrase, go forth, appears only one other time in the whole Tanakh. And that's towards the end of Abraham's life. As God again commands, go forth. This time, God demands that Abraham go and take his son, his favorite one, Isaac, whom he loves, and give him as a burnt offering. From Genesis 22:2. The words go forth serve as literary bookends in Abraham's life. Martin Buber, and he was a great 20th century Jewish theologian. I got it. Sorry about this. He described our story as the instance at the beginning of Abraham's life. Abraham is asked to separate himself from the world of his fathers, his past, his family, and everything he knows. In the second instance, Abraham is asked to kill his son and thus separate himself from the world of his sons. His future and the promise and the expectations of time where his offsprings would be as numerous as the stars. As you remember, God told him that. But here he's going to kill the son that's going to produce those. Where his descendants would be made into a great nation. You know what Abraham was asked to give up? A lot. His life with his family, a future that held a lot of promise. What has God asked you to give up? Does it amount to what Abraham was asked? Do we trust God? It seems what God demanded of Abraham is almost excessive. He had to leave, and then he had to go kill his son. Maybe, just maybe, the emphasis should not be placed on what God is asking Abraham to walk away from, but on what God is asking Abraham to walk towards. What's he asking us to walk towards today? That is to say, God is asking Abraham not to live in his past or in the hopes for a particular future. By asking Abraham to give up both, God invites Abraham to focus on the present moment of their relationship. Are we focusing on the past? Are we focusing on the future? We're not living in either one of them, are we? God invites Abraham to focus on the present moment of their relationship. And there is much uncertainty in this moment. Let's look at this. God tells Abraham, go forth. But guess what? He doesn't tell him where to go forth to. With the second command, God tells Abraham, go forth. go forth to the mountain. He doesn't tell him what mountain. That comes later, when he's gone forth. In both instances, God asks Abraham to inhabit the uncertainty of the present. We try to get out of that, don't we? We're trying to look forward down the road, or back down the road. Because we're a little afraid of the present. Like Abraham, we are challenged to free ourselves from constraints of our history and the expectations of a certain future. God, through Abraham, asks us to go forth into our present. Shabbat Shalom.